This is the What Now Podcast.
I didn't have this piece of paper that I was very much seeing everywhere in the space I was working. And I was both a little intimidated, but also a little frustrated that I felt like I had so much to offer and felt like I was doing as well, if not better, than others around me with all of these great degrees. But I was realizing it was going to be a real barrier in the opportunities for me to move forward.
This is the What Now Podcast, where we have faithful discussions to support, educate, and inspire members of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I am Mary Alice Hatch, your host. Join me as I speak with Candace Gardner, Associate Vice President of Development at Utah Valley University, about how she returned to college 15 years after getting married at the young age of 18 and leaving school when she was only 20 to care for her newborn child. Candace shares how she gained the courage to go back to school as an older student and how she managed the challenges of balancing home, work, and school life and the influences that helped her succeed. Her story is inspirational. Today, I'm here with Candace Gardner. Welcome.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Happy to have you. Before we begin, I'd just like to invite you to tell us a little bit about yourself so listeners can get to know you better.
Absolutely. I am a girl from Orem, Utah, grew up here my whole life. I'm currently working at Utah Valley University as the Associate Vice President of Development. But my growing up years, I was here in this lovely valley. I come from a family of 8 girls, which is a very fun and unique way to be raised. Have incredible parents. Just had a great experience. And so some of the work that I'm doing at UVU, specifically with the Women's Success Center, is pretty near and dear to my heart. I got married a bit young. I was 18 when I got married. I have 4 incredible children, 3 daughters and a son, 2 daughters married, and a grandson on the way. So lots of things happening right now in our world, which is exciting. I think we're going to get into some of the fun nitty-gritties, but that's kind of who I am.
Okay, I love the overview. My daughter lives in Orem, Utah. I'm a fan.
It's a beautiful place. The mountains are spectacular.
It is so beautiful. She loves it there. And she's pregnant with her first child, so it'll be our first grandchild. So I'm excited for that journey.
I'm hearing really good things about grandma life, so I'm looking forward to it.
I'm excited. So, but I'm happy for you too. So I just wanted to talk about, like you mentioned a little bit in your intro, in our church culture, it's really common to get married young. Mm-hmm. And you were on the younger side. 18 is young. And when you got married, you had a child by the time you were 20. So when you have small children, it's really difficult to go back to school. And when I talked to you earlier, you'd mentioned that you put in about 20 hours of school before you needed to stop and take care of your family. And it wasn't until 15 years later that you decided to go back to school and finish your bachelor's degree. So what gave you the courage to go back to school despite such a demanding home life with 4 young children and working at UVU?
All right. It's quite a little story. And as most people, I'm sure, have this experience, you kind of wind and weave and find your path along the way. So I'd start really with right out of high school. My first part-time job was actually at UVCC, which was the same school I work at now, but it was a little different back in the day, Utah Valley Community College. And I was a part-time admin assistant, and I ended up meeting my husband here. It was actually at the LDS Orem Institute. He was the LDSSA president at the time, and I was on one of the committees, which was a very common thing to do, was to get involved in that institute. It's housed here on campus, and so it's a very great way to tie college students into the college life, especially those that were a bit of a commuter school. We don't have dorms on campus, lots of apartments and opportunities, but it's not the same feel as some of the other universities where you just kind of eat, live, breathe everything. So the Institute has a really good role in that space. But anyway, my husband, Bruce, amazing human. I met him pretty early on. In fact, I was right out of high school. They were in recruiting some of the students that were in seminary councils, which I was in high school, to come and play at the Institute. So anyway, met him. We courted and dated pretty fast. 8 months later, I'm still working at UVU or UVCC. We actually got engaged on this campus. He proposed to me right here on the space. And yeah, it's just always been quite a fun experience. So I very much bleed green in that, you know, in that way. I was going to school. He was going to school, obviously. So I'd started to do some of my schoolwork. I even had done some of the concurrent enrollment in high school. So it was on my mind for sure. And then about a year into working and married life, got pregnant. And I worked here until my oldest daughter was about 9 months old. And at that time, my in-laws were going on an LDS mission. They lived in Charleston up by Heber. And we just made the decision. It was time. I really wanted to be available and there for my daughter. I knew there was going to be more children. It was a goal for us to grow our family. He was still going to school, but trying to find his path. And so we focused a little bit more on Bruce's career and his education at the time. So that started about a 13-year home mom life for me. I had my four children, was able to be with them, and it was a hard time. And it was, you know, I think this happens frequently as well. Bruce got to the place where he needed to focus a little bit more on trying to get income for our growing family. So he paused on school for a while. And then it turned into, you know, gosh, let me think about this for a second. Probably 9 years after all of the beginning of that, Bruce came home one day after, you know, working full time and not making a lot of money and said, "Oh, honey, I think it's time I go back to school." So it kind of really started with him as a first generation student. None of his family had ever graduated with a bachelor's degree. And I remember thinking, how are we going to do this? I'm not working. I'm home with four children. You're working full time, and now you're going to go back to school. And he did that for 5 years. And it was a bit of a time for our family, but to watch him so passionately and so just incredibly struggle and work hard. He got his degree in 2005. And I'm going to pause for a second and say, part of the reason I'm doing the work that I do to find resources to help students stay in school is because I see it change lives, and that's been a very intimate thing for me and my family. Mm-hmm. Once he graduated, he was able to find opportunities really year over year, and it was immediate. In fact, I tell people this, and I don't know how many people remember if they even still do that, but Social Security will send out on an annual basis. Your income. And you can see really year over year how things are improving or what they're doing. And I noticed about 2008, 2009, that since his graduation, the improvement in just our financial situation was so much better because of that degree. Mm-hmm. It also built confidence for him.
Sure.
And as he was, you know, doing some great things and trying to find his path in his career, it kind of got to the point also that we needed to open up the opportunity for me to get back into the workforce. And so I started in kind of a part-time space. My children were all in elementary school, so I had a little bit more time on my hands. And at that point, I jumped into an organization. It was mortgages, a kind of a construction company. And I was doing some work for about 3 years there. And I had family that was still working at UVU. And one of the jobs popped open, and I thought, you know, as much as I've loved that place so much and I'm back in Orem, I thought, why not? So I applied for a position. That was in 2009, and was able to come back full time and started to work for Liz Hitch, who was our interim president for about a year. She was coming back to her role as a vice president of academic affairs. And so here I am. I had been out of the workforce for a while, started to get my feet back into it with this construction mortgage company, and I'm around all of these academics, PhDs, deans, faculty folks, and I'm working for the vice president over all of that, and feeling a bit inadequate in some spaces, but also realizing I didn't have this piece of paper that I was very much seeing everywhere in the space I was working, and I was both a little intimidated, but also a little frustrated that I felt like I had so much to offer and felt like I was doing as well, if not better, than others around me with all of these great degrees. But I was realizing it was going to be a real barrier in the opportunities for me to move forward. And with Dr. Hitch's great help and encouragement, I jumped back into trying to get my bachelor's degree. And again, I'd only had about 20 to 22 credits at that time. And luckily, some of those still stuck after a good 13-year sabbatical away from it. So jumped back into the work, or into education while I was still working full time. And that brought up a whole bunch of other issues and concerns about family life and how do you balance all of that. But at this point, I've obviously finished my degree. I also have a master's degree. But it took the support, definitely, of my dear sweet husband and my children, seeing him going through it and seeing what an impact that was, so impactful in so many ways, and then having the support of people around me at work, incredible leaders here that were willing to support and be flexible as I was taking classes during lunch breaks and evening times. And in fact, my master's program was up in Salt Lake, and I'd have to leave once a week for a 5 to 10 p.m. class to get up to the school in that city. And I had some really good managers that allowed me to do that and fully supported that.
I love that. I love that the people you worked with saw the value. Of course, they're in an educational system, so they see the value of the education, but that you were just so inspired by that and motivated by that. And that at 35 years old, you went back to school. I mean, what was it like going back to school as a 35-year-old with a bunch of 20-year-olds?
I actually had this conversation 2 days ago with an employee that works for me who was also doing the same thing. And the conversation turned into, we know we were better students older than we were when we were younger. And I was in the young age when I was in college at the beginning. So there was a couple things that I learned. I learned that I was paying attention in a different way, and things were a little bit more relevant because of some life experiences. I also learned that I was not as fast thinking. The older you get, I think there was a few moments I went so quickly, and technology had changed in the classroom, so that was a little bit of a different feel.
Yeah,
but I actually think I was more focused, and I was also able to help students around me. But they did me as well. So it was a beautiful synergy. And to be in a space where there's non-traditional students, UVU is an open enrollment institution, which really is, if you enroll, you're here. You've got a space, you know, when you apply, you're here. You enroll into classes. There's some structured enrollment to make sure that you're taking classes that you can be successful in. And there's real reason behind that as well. But because it's so open, you have incredible diversity in so many ways, including the ages. And I actually think that creates a really robust experience in the classroom. And I deeply, deeply appreciated that. And I also didn't feel out of place because I wasn't the only one in that space.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And I love that there are no barriers and that President Tumenez has really been committed to that. You know, that anyone who wants an education is going to get it or have the opportunity to receive it. I love that.
Absolutely. We have a program that's called Returning Wolverines, and it's laser focused on those that have credits and hadn't completed. And there's outreach. In fact, I believe it was about 2 years ago, all of the executives on campus in our cabinet individually had a list and were reaching out to students that started, didn't complete, and we offered the opportunity to come back. And we had some great success with that. I thought that is, when you talk about like buy into a mission, these leaders here are just so all in. That was a great example of really, you know, putting your work on where your thoughts are. So it was good to see.
Yeah, it's interesting at UVU too, because they have trades, they have so many different opportunities for every kind of learner.
Yeah, in fact, we have what we call a dual mission model, which it's a community college. I'd say it this way, we have a charge that we will stay in open enrollment. That's the community college aspect. But back in the tenure of President Matthew S. Holland, they really focused on keeping that open enrollment and looking at the structured enrollment, like I mentioned, but also looking at the rigor of a top-notch bachelor-master opportunity in a teaching institution like this. And I love that because it really does speak to, there's a place for you. If you're coming in fresh, right out of high school, new to the university experience, we've got a space for you and ways that we can help you be successful in learning how to be a good, strong university student. And couple that with the returning Wolverines, those non-traditional students that are coming back, those adult learners, I think is the better term that we use now. And again, where are you at now? What have you taken? What do you need to refresh on? How do we keep you to be successful? And then deep rigor, meaning the classes you're taking, you are getting the best education around. We are very competitive and winning awards and competitions, not just through the state, but nationally left and right. There is amazing things happening here. And that open enrollment piece really does provide opportunities for all levels of learning.
I love that. It's so inclusive. And you have a high percentage of first generation graduates too, don't you?
We do. So our current numbers were just above 43,000 students. And out of that, 37% are first generation students. That is a big number.
That's incredible.
And I will say, working in the spaces, I did development work in student affairs for the last 4 years before this current role. And understanding some of the additional roadblocks and barriers some of these first generation students have. And it's fascinating. It's all across the map, and it's there's diverse issues for a lot of different reasons, including, you know, if no one in, like, I think about even my husband, his parents never did university education and wouldn't know how to navigate even just the admission process and what does financial aid mean. And all of those pieces would be pretty foreign. So he had to figure that out on his own and find resources. And sometimes that's hard for students when they come into a large university. They don't maybe not even know where to go to see how to get that help. That's what we focus on. What do we need in every space to make sure that students have support, we can educate them, we have peer mentors that can help them in their spaces. So we have first-gen mentors that will be with other first-gen students, and that can create a great opportunity and kind of lessen the fear that some students might have.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Well, I want to just touch a little bit. You mentioned briefly about Matt Holland, and you had the opportunity to be the executive assistant to the former president of UVU, Matt Holland. And how did his influence contribute to your confidence in going back to school? Because he also had a part in that, didn't he?
He absolutely did. So if I do a little chronological here, 2009 in August is when I started, and I joined him after his first year in June 2010. And I had just completed my first semester back in school. So as I was interviewing for the position, I did tell him, I do need you to know I'm back in school. I'm sure this is going to be a high demand position for my time. I need to be accessible and available for you. Are you okay and willing to support me continuing in school? And of course, without even a hitch, he said, absolutely. But it did provide some interesting just situations, I guess I would say. And part of it was I had to take specific classes. Obviously, you're going through a program. There's classes that are offered at certain times of the day. And that got interesting to navigate. And I will say I was so impressed with how UVU was thoughtful about making sure there were multiple opportunities. Our prime time, of course, is like that 9 to 11 during the middle of the morning, but not too early. And a lot of classes were offered during that time. But I have seen, and it's continued, a real diversity in what we can offer and when. We have more online, we have more evening. I took multiple Saturday classes, so I would be here from 9 to 12, multiple Saturdays throughout the years of getting my bachelor's degree. But President Holland was, again, he put his mouth where, or his works where his mouth is. That's probably not the right way to say it, but he would speak it and do it. That's the best way to say that, I guess. Very supportive, and would make some sacrifices in how we would be flexible with my schedule. And then from that point, once I finished my bachelor's degree, again, I was doing this with kids. At that point, junior high, high school years is when I actually graduated with my bachelor's. And I will say, as a mom, and maybe all parents do this, but I really worried about extra time away from my kids. It was a pretty demanding job, and I was adding time away for school, and I wondered what effect that might have on my children. But I will say I'm pleasantly surprised at how each one of them and in their own space have come to me and said, thank you for the example. Thank you for completing. We understand the importance. And there were great aspects to needing to step up in their own space and help with the family in different places. So, you know, the fear of always, how am I messing up my children? It's so far, I will say, at least that part of it, I feel like we were able to manage it quite well. But the last thing I guess I'd say with President Holland on the education was after the bachelor's degree, I paused for a little bit. And he was actually one of the most influential people on helping me make the decision if I continue on. I paused for about a year and a half and had a good conversation with both my father, but also with Matt in do I move forward? Do I go on with a master's degree? And I was already researching some. And not only was his advice, yes, you should move on, but was very supportive. And that was a 3-year executive program that really he had to sacrifice some time for me to be away. And he was very, very helpful in that space as well.
I mean, he is such an incredible man. I know Matt personally. He's so dynamic. He's so much like his father, just funny, fun, grounded, but very supportive. And I think it's important for listeners to understand that about him. I mean, what an incredible man to work under. What an incredible mentor, really.
He was, and in so many ways. And I watched very closely at his leadership style, but also his just the humanity and the way that he treated our students. And there were so many examples that I'm thinking of, a few just popping in my head right now, where he was so authentic, and he there was just a deep passion at seeing each individual person, whether it was an employee, a community member that was coming in and speaking with him, or our students. He wanted to be there for the individual, but he was also such an incredible leader and a strategist. What he did for this university, and I'm going to remind, I grew up literally, I was 4 blocks up the street. I have watched this institution from a tech to a community college to a state college to a university. I've watched this grow for a long, long time. And under his tenure, those 9 years that he was here, the amount of change, the influence on the state, the outreach, and I will say sometimes almost UVU fatigue, because Matt Holland and this team here were pounding the pavement, making sure everyone knew what was happening, what we needed, and then showing the impact of what was happening here. He was very, very good at communicating not just where we needed to go, but also where we've been and how we're impacting. And those two things I think are very important. We can always talk about, you know, this is our vision and our mission and we need to get to this space. But during that path, to be able to say at each step, okay, we just moved the needle here. Let me show you what's impacted, how many students, what we're doing for the community, industry. We're pumping so many students back into the workplace. In fact, about 76% of our students 10 years after graduation are still in the state of Utah. And if you think about our numbers, 43,000+ students, that's a lot of workers that are living in Utah, building businesses, paying taxes, going to our school systems. We have a lot of influence in the state. And so that impact, I think, is a very important piece of that puzzle. And he was a really good communicator about that as well.
Yeah, it seemed like when he became president of UVU, it was transformative for that university.
Absolutely, in so many ways. And I'm going to say something, and I hope this comes across the right way, but when I was in high school, UVCC was the backup of the backup. It was kind of like, well, if I don't get in where I need to, I'll just go to UVCC. And the just came, I just go to UVCC. I am thrilled to say, in my 15 years being here, and it was happening even before I got here, but watching the trends change. We have more transfers in from some of these larger institutions or these older institutions around us than going out. That's a new trend. We have this becoming a very first choice institution where it's not even considered anywhere else. We're coming to UVU, and that's happening more and more, and it's a beautiful thing to witness.
Mm-hmm. No, it is. And now Astrid Tumanez has done a remarkable job just even making it more of a presence, making bringing money into the university. I mean, making it really credible.
It's been great to see, she really is, to see the difference between a different leader's style and watching how things can be built and handed off and built more. And that's been really fun, just almost from a leadership standpoint, to step back and watch how that can happen. She is dynamic. She is very, very passionate about the mission here. In fact, we just came back from an experience with her where she started in the Philippines. I was able to actually see where she grew up. And I've heard her story 100 times, but to see where, like, physically be there and see where she grew up and where she ended up is, I mean, it is an inspirational story. I mean,
oh, yeah. And if you want the whole story on that, I did an interview with her. That is incredible.
Really is great. But yeah, she is, yeah, she's a mover and a shaker. She's getting some things done in all sorts of ways. And I love the passion and the drive, and things don't sit around and wait. She gets things done.
No, I love it. No dust settles on her. I mean, no. She's small and mighty. I love her.
And you got to, I don't know if anyone hasn't had a chance, you got to see her with her pom-poms at games. She is, I mean, just magnetic.
She is so into it. I love it. She is so supportive of the university, the mission, everything. She has so much passion for it.
Well, it does make it, it makes it a great opportunity, because I think some of our students can see where she came from to what she's grown into and what she's been able to accomplish, can kind of align with a lot of our first gen students as well. So that story, I think, is very appealing.
Mm-hmm. And she is a first gen student. She's experienced that. And she's really, it's remarkable. The podcast I did is called Poverty to Prominence. It's one of my earlier podcasts, but her story is really unbelievable. She was found in the ghetto in the projects by nuns, educated, joined the church, went to BYU, got a full scholarship, went to Harvard, went to MIT, and was a leader in Microsoft. I mean, her journey is unbelievable.
Really is. Really.
She's a brilliant woman. But I want to focus on how did you balance home, work, and school life? Because I think for a lot of women listening to this who might consider going back to school or haven't quite finished their degree and that's just always eaten away at them, how do they balance it all? I mean, how did you do that?
I actually was thinking about this also recently on again, with some employees that are asking some of the same questions. I don't know that I would actually say the balance ever like was 100%, but communication with your support system. And again, I'm going to say, luckily, I had an incredible spouse who knew the importance of education because of his experience and wanted to support me. So he stepped up in some spaces. And I'll say this, no matter the age of your children, I think you have those conversations because it will impact them. And that means they're going to have to step up in some spaces. And it also means that mom might be not to everything, but I would invite people to think about who is in your sphere that can be part of that. Aunts, uncles, grandparents, friends. I had great neighbors that if I couldn't be to something, they were either live streaming or they were taking videos. My husband was quite accessible as well, but use your community around you to be part of that balance so that some of the guilt will go away. And I think we do that really, really well as parents. We can throw a lot of guilt on ourselves. But if you're not communicating, I think that makes the worry even worse. So have those conversations and really talk about what can we do, and then prioritize. There were things that were like, absolutely, I am not going to miss this. And that means I might miss a class or I might not have as much time to study for what I need to, but I'm going to make that a priority. And that's okay. I've also heard people talk about, you know, your grades, and I'm probably going to get myself in trouble saying it this way, but you need the degree. It doesn't mean it has to be absolutely perfect. And I put a lot of pressure on, I got to get those A's. And then sometimes I had to pull myself back and say, well, if I get it, great, but I just need the degree. And that's where some of the balance can come in. So the reality of what you can actually accomplish.
Yeah, that's true. I like the idea of including your community. I like the idea of communicating with your kids and letting them be part of the decision because it will impact them. And I then it makes them have a little more ownership and a little more compassion towards what you're trying to do.
Well, and at the end of graduation, it was fun to say, we did this. This was not just me. There's no way I could have done this without the support they gave. And they had ownership in that. So that was a good experience also.
Yeah, I like that, the ownership. That's good. So what would you say to mothers who want to go back to school or re-enter the workforce, but they just don't know where to start?
I would say, number one, you just for put it in your head, you're going to do it. Make the decision, I'm going to get my degree. And then the starting piece, I mean, I guess it depends on where you're going, but I'll say in my space, if you don't know, I promise you that any employee at any university would want to be able to say, oh, yeah, we can help you, and they'll get you to the right person. So it's that outreach. Just start the process and start to figure out, what is it actually going to take? Okay, you know what? Maybe I'm just going to get my application in. I'm going to start there and then see what it takes. I think I was pleasantly surprised at the variety and the flexibility that was offered, at least in my experience at UVU. So I guess back also with the family. So start your conversations, make sure you've got the support that you need. And sometimes that's not always the case. So if that's part of the equation, what do you need to backfill some of the support that you might not always have? And there's great resources. We have different entities on campus to help some of those spaces as well, whether that be Women's Success Center. We have a multicultural center that can help in some of those first gen spaces, our first generation center. So start to look for what your resources that are available to you. And don't hesitate to reach out to those people that have gone through the process. I mentioned earlier that peer mentoring with our first gen students. I think when you can find someone that's gone through that, whatever you're going through or you're wanting to go through, have the conversation and ask some of those questions. 9 times out of 10, they're going to have some great advice or some ideas on how to help you get to the next phase.
I love the idea of peer mentoring because then you have someone there who's going through it, they've been through it, and they're mentoring you and helping and supporting because that can be intimidating, right? You don't know where to start, you don't know what to do. They've gone through it, they know the frustrations and the fears and the concerns around it, and they can be supportive. That's a great idea.
Absolutely. And one more thing I'll throw out. I think if you talk to any person sitting in a class, no matter what their age, there will be a level of imposter syndrome, some concerns about maybe just their inac what's the word I want to use? Just worried about their own, can I do this? But as an older person going through a university experience, just remember that everyone in those spaces has a bit of a, I'm not sure how I'm doing this. So lean into that imposter feeling where, like, I don't know if I belong here, especially when you're sitting around some younger, more energetic folks in your space, and realize you have something to contribute. And that took me a while because I don't know if it's self-doubt or I don't feel like I have much to contribute when I first started. I started to realize I had a voice and I had life experience and some different maturity levels that contributed to the conversations and to the group projects, and just to my own ability to really accomplish things. So yeah, I guess I'd lean into the life experience that you bring to that environment.
I like that. Because that's true. It reminds me of like when we lived in Boston for years, I used to take classes. They would allow you to take classes at Wellesley College, Harvard University, and I took classes at those schools. And I remember just feeling, I was like 40. And these kids are like 18 to 22 looking at me like, what's this lady doing here? But I just love education. I love continuing education. And it was kind of funny. I kind of became like the mom of the study group, you know? They kind of watch their language a little bit more. This was not a like a LDS community at all, very liberal. And so they started kind of watching what they were saying around me. And then they'd ask me questions about, you know, because I was this mom with kids. So it's kind of funny how you can kind of add your own value to the group.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love that.
So can you let me know a little bit about what the opportunities are at UVU? So for those listening who want to go back to school, some ideas, if whatever their community looks like for education around them, where should they go? Would they go to, like, where at the university would they go and get this information?
Are you saying actually in physical spaces or?
Yeah, like if they want it, would they go online and just look at enrollment or how would they figure that out?
I would start with the enrollment process or the application process, and that's through our admissions office. Our website is very keenly driven to make sure we get students in the right spot. So you'll see admissions in lots of different opportunities and links. I also would do UVU resources, and you can see some of the different departments that have resources for students at all sorts of different opportunities. If you wanted to specifically go in, here's a couple of thoughts. So if you are a first-generation student, we do have a first-generation center, UVU First Gen, and you could just literally Google that. I'm sure that would pop up right away. Our Women's Success Center at UVU for women that are wanting to look at, actually, I will say for students, it's actually open for all students. But there's specific resources that's data driven on helping women graduate. And there is a real need there. Utah, unfortunately, is last in the nation on graduating female students. We have a lot of work to do in that space. And they're looking and researching on not just why that is, but what can we do to resolve some of those disparities. So those are some of the suggestions I would say, but I'd start with admissions. And once you hit that that link and you start to go through that process, a lot of those resources will be automatically sent to the student. Here's some ideas, here's financial aid. You can talk to a financial aid advisor, set up an appointment with an academic advisor. They can look at what experience or education you've had previously, and if any of that transfers or are part of our system already. And then the resources will just, we have lists of them that they'll be able to provide for students.
I love that. So do you have an online curriculum? So if someone's out of state, they could get their degree through UVU?
We do. I can't tell you right off the top of my head. I want to say I think 11 or 12 fully online programs that we have. I should know that even better, but there absolutely is an online opportunity. And that's been great to see as we talk about kind of the silver linings that came out of the experience we had with 2020 and 2021 with our COVID experience. And part of that was that online had to, for universities, be more robust. And so we were able to get a lot of different opportunities there.
Yeah, that was definitely a blessing of COVID, all the online opportunities. I mean, I used to have to do my interviews live, and now I do everything through an online link. I don't have to go anywhere. I don't have to leave my office. It's so nice.
Yeah, it definitely has changed our world. And great opportunities, not just in the workplace, but in connection with just people. We had a lot of folks that were out of the state, couldn't travel, and you still wanted to see your family and talk to them. So it's been great to see that we have new opportunities and technologies, but really in education, there are some great opportunities.
Well, you have an incredible story. I mean, if someone consistent with the church culture where you got married young, you had children young, but then you felt that the inspiration and desire to go out and get a higher education and pursue that, and you were blessed to work for people who supported you in doing that.
Thank you.
I think it's a great model for people who are listening right now that it's never too late. It's never too late to go back to school and get your degree or pursue things that you're passionate about.
100% agree with that. Double down, say that everywhere I can. Absolutely never too late. You never know where pieces of education will come into play and how they will help you. And it continues to surprise me on a pretty regular basis where I'm like, wow, yep, there's another reason why this was a good choice. Yeah, it's been a great experience. And I will tell you, there's been a few experiences that mothers are graduating here with their children on the same graduation. And I love that. I think that is just an inspiration, and it's not that uncommon. So yeah, jump back in. There's people that will support you and more than you know. That's another thing I would say. You'll find new strangers that will become friends that are going to be all in to help you continue and to complete.
I love that. It's never too late. Well, thank you so much for your time today. I loved our interview.
Thank you, Mary Alice. I appreciate the time.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to the What Now podcast. Please share this episode with family, friends, and anyone you think it might help. If you enjoyed the podcast, please take a minute to leave a positive rating and written review, which really helps the podcast to grow. If you're on Instagram, follow us at @podcastwhatnow for inspirational messages and highlights from our past and present episodes. We never say goodbye, we say what now. This has been a What Now podcast production.